Scripture reading for today is found in Mark 1, 21 to 28. Listen while I read. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. God bless you, Randy, as you bring the message.
Thank you, Shelby. And good morning, everyone. As we are thinking about what it means to covenant with one another, and thank you to all who came this morning in Sunday school, and I know some were not able to come as well, I thought that it would be good to think a little bit about why we covenant, and also the covenant that God has made with us. Now, this text in Mark this morning does not specifically talk about the word covenant, but I do believe as we dig into this text, we see a little bit of a picture of God's covenant promises to us and how we see that in Jesus in Mark. Why do we think it's important to covenant? Well, I think we have to ask that question by starting with Scripture. And as we read Scripture, we see a God that is a covenant maker. God is a covenant maker. This is amazing. One of the lectionary texts this morning is Psalm 111, along with Mark 1. And I'm always intrigued when I look at the lectionary text for the Sunday to see some themes coming through. And as I was reading Psalm 111, what do you know? The word covenant is used twice in the psalm. So I said, well, that has to be God speaking. So I want to just read the beginning of some of those verses in Psalm 111. And again, this is one of the lectionary texts for this morning. It starts in verse 5. It says, "He, God, is ever mindful of his covenant. God has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of God's hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name." He has commanded his covenant forever. Wow. I just had to think, how cool, God, that you created this world, you created us, and you said, "I want to have a covenant relationship with you because I love you that much." So as we're talking about covenant with one another, I think it's so important that we frame all of this within God's covenant love and relationship with us, his body, his creation, the church. In the Old Testament, covenant between God and Jews is such an important foundational idea. It's the basis for the idea of the Jews as the chosen people of God. Not chosen because they're God's favorites, but chosen to be a blessing to the nations. God made a covenant with Israel, who were blessed to be a blessing to the world. This first covenant was between God and Abraham. And the sign of the covenant was this circumcision as a symbol of God's promise. God promised to make Abraham the father of a great people, and said that Abraham and his descendants, in this covenant relationship, Yahweh will be their God and Lord. Now, as we shift into the New Testament, the Christian view of the covenant, we hear this language of a new covenant. In communion, we say, this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. This new covenant now is a new relationship between God and humans with Jesus at the center. And now the mark of circumcision just for the Jewish people is not the mark of the covenant. It's Jesus which is the mark of the covenant. And it's not just for Jews anymore. It's for Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles, upon sincere declaration in their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and God. So this new covenant now, made known through Jesus Christ, we go through these four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we start to get a picture for what this new covenant is all about. What is this relationship? Who is this Jesus that makes this new covenant possible? Our mission statement is figuring out together how to follow Jesus. Well, how do we follow Jesus and who is Jesus? We need to go back to the scriptures. And I believe that in this text this morning in Mark, we see a picture of who Jesus is, what Jesus' mission is about, and what his covenant to us is for. Here in this story this morning in Mark, we read about the first public act of Jesus' ministry. We can be curious learners here. If you're Mark and you're writing this, you're thinking about your audience and how they're going to be reading this letter and this gospel. And they are intentionally thinking about Jesus' first act, public act of ministry. What will that say about who Jesus is and who Jesus interacts with? And so we can ask, who is Jesus? Who has he come for? Who is he interested in relationship with? This first act of ministry will give us a clue to that. And in this story in Mark, it's a story of Jesus commanding an unclean spirit to exit a man. There's this dialogue in this story here, initiated by the unclean spirit who calls Jesus of Nazareth by name and appears to know who this Jesus is and his purpose. And the spirit says, "Have you come to destroy us?" That the unclean spirit is the first to name Jesus and acknowledge his power is important. It's an early marker already that evil in this world is absolutely terrified by Jesus the Christ. And it will not win at the end of the day. Evil, brokenness, sin, suffering, we feel it. It's strong. But this story reminds us so centrally that Jesus the Christ answers evil, and evil does not have the last word. Evil forces have the most to lose in the coming of Jesus and the good news. And so, apprehending the threat that Jesus poses, this spirit exits the man with one last final cry. It's almost like this evil spirit just can't help but recognize the power of Jesus and this display of authority and power. We can think about this story as a way that Mark is setting up a larger picture of Jesus and why he came. Mark depicts Jesus as the one uniquely authorized, commissioned, and empowered to declare the reign of God. Through Jesus, we see characteristics and glimpses of this reign. First, it's about liberating people from brokenness and evil that afflicts them and keeps them in bondage. And here's part of this covenant promise that we see in Jesus. A powerful promise. That in Christ, there is healing and hope from the bondage and the brokenness. That's part of God's covenant promise to us in Christ. That He's bringing new life in the midst of bondage. That's an awfully powerful promise. A powerful covenant that God has made with us. Salvation is this relationship with God that brings new life, even to people that they thought there was no hope. And so first and foremost, God is a covenant maker. And we see that here in this text. Second, Jesus, God through Christ, is a boundary breaker. This story tells us that Jesus will cross the boundaries that no one ever thought the Messiah would go. Jesus will cross the boundary of clean and unclean immediately. He doesn't wait to build some trust up. He goes right in his first public act of ministry. He doesn't care. It's significant that Jesus' first public act of ministry in Mark is going to someone considered unclean and bringing healing and freedom. Jesus commands the demon to leave, and we read in verse 27, they were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. One of the things that we see in verse 27 there is that they're astonished. This is new. No one's ever gone to the unclean before. One gets the sense that this has not happened before, and they are astonished. This world of clean and unclean was very distinct in Jesus' time. And in many ways, we still have it today. You simply didn't go there if they were unclean. When you were unclean for life. Leprosy, unclean spirits, etc. Cast you aside. Even by your family often, because it would taint your family heritage and line. And so these were the outcasts of society, this man with an unclean spirit. And what does Jesus the Christ do? He goes right in. He's the boundary crosser. Goes to the unclean spirit world, a world no one was willing to go to. A New Testament scholar out of Notre Dame, Jerome Nerai, has this to say. For most religious leaders in Jesus' times, there was a strong idea of purity, which refers to these structures, classifications, evaluations, which shape social groups. There is a place for everything and everything in its place. What is in place is pure, and what is not is pollution. And where these boundaries and classifications were most held up, pure or pollution, was in the religious circles. So in Mark, Jesus appears to be out of place most of the time, dealing with people he should avoid, doing unconventional things and not observing customs about places and times. Mark presents Jesus challenging the Jewish purity system. He is the Holy One of God, an agent of God's reform. Jesus is authorized to cross lines and to blur classifications. As God's agent of holiness, Jesus makes sinners holy and the sick whole. Beautiful picture of Jesus the boundary breaker. The writer Mark sets Jesus' tone from the beginning of the gospel. I'm going to turn your world upside down. Jesus says, who you think I've come for, who belongs in my kingdom, who I'm willing to go to, you can't imagine how many boundaries I'm going to break in my next 3 years of ministry. And guess what? They couldn't imagine it. And it was so absolutely terrifying to them how many boundaries Jesus would break that they ended up killing Jesus on the cross. Jesus will go into these places where no one else will go and will show that he's willing to go and break the expectations in this kingdom of God. God is a boundary breaker. And third, we serve a God in Jesus Christ who is also a miracle worker. We read that after this amazing act of power and authority, in verse 28 it says, "At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee." People were amazed. The word started to spread of these miracles that Jesus was doing. This was a story, a miraculous story of God bringing new life and freedom in the most incredible, hardly ever seen way before. And what are the point of these miracles that Jesus was doing and that we will see him do in the next 3 years of his ministry? Miracles always point back to give glory to God. God's authority, God's power, God's reign in the kingdom. Jesus performs this miracle to point and give glory back to his Father. I was thinking about miracles, and that word means so many different things sometimes. I was reading a Facebook post from Lori, and I asked her if I could share this. 1 year ago yesterday was that long surgery that Steve was in that we were all praying for, and also which led to Steve being cancer-free. 1 year ago yesterday. And Lori, in that Facebook, you said, you used the word miracle in there. Amen, right? We need to celebrate that. God at work, and give glory back to God. Jesus is bringing freedom, new life to people in the midst of brokenness, enslavement, sickness, things in the past that we know were not the way God desired us to live. Where do you see Jesus the miracle worker in your life, in yourself, family, community? I think of a hospital patient that just died last week that I got to know fairly well through some home visits and walking with him in the hospital quite a bit. His name was Scott. He had just an absolutely unimaginable childhood. Grew up right here near us in Ephrata. Scott made a lot of really bad decisions. And he also had a lot of things done to him that were completely out of his control. And he was given an absolutely terrible childhood in many respects. One of those kids that literally at the age of 10 was walking around the streets of Ephrata, robbing stores, and just getting into a lot of problems. Drug and alcohol addictions, a ton of rough edges, made a lot of decisions that were not wise. Broken family, criminal, time in jail. Never stepped a foot in church and had absolutely no desire to do so. By all accounts, Scott was the unclean, the untouchable. There was no hope if you had looked at Scott 6 years ago. 6 years ago, something changed. 6 years ago, Scott needed a ride to an appointment, and he heard about Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ. And there was a driver from Lititz Mennonite Church who picked up Scott because he was working with Love, Inc. And after taking Scott to the doctor's appointment, he then invited him to Lititz Mennonite Church, where Pastor Rodney Martin and our new bishop is pastoring there. Scott, for the first time, stepped foot in a church at Lititz Mennonite. Scott found belonging. He started to find love. He started to find Christ. And there was new life. Still rough edges? Oh yeah! A ton! Never a dull moment. Very colorful language. It was so refreshing. See, this is why I get out of the Mennonite bubble sometimes. They're just too nice sometimes. Just be honest. And Scott was honest. But there was new life for Scott. Transformed. He was baptized at Lititz Mennonite. He reminded Lititz Mennonite, he reminded Rodney, he reminded me that God can work in the most unexpected people and untouchable people that you never thought there was hope. In the hospital and in my home visits, I couldn't help but just be drawn to want to be with him, to hear his stories, to appreciate his rough edges, to see how Christ completely worked in his life. And I was seeing it right in front of me. It does not matter what you have done, where you have been, as unclean as you may feel. God's covenant promise to you, to me, to all of us, is that God wants to do something new in you as we put our trust and faith in Him. As we give our lives to Christ, God in turn says, I will be with you. I will do something new. In the most unexpected ways and people sometimes. God, our covenant maker. God, our boundary breaker. God, our miracle worker. And just last week, Scott died. And he died a good death, though. He was pretty young, but he died at peace, knowing that there was a community at Lititz that loved him, where he belonged, knowing that God in Christ loved him. It was beautiful. Let us join God, this covenant maker, boundary breaker, miracle worker, in mission. Let us commit to be covenant makers together, to be boundary breakers together, and to be miracle workers together with Christ at the center. Let us commit, through God's help, to be a part of this kingdom of Jesus. Let us pray. God, thank you for this story in Mark. We see a glimpse of who you are in your kingdom. That you have a covenant, a promise to us of love, not just for the Jews, but for all people, a covenant grounded in your life, death, and resurrection. Thank you that you are also a boundary breaker and you're calling us to go into those people or places that we thought were untouchable. And you're bringing new life. You're bringing new life to us. God, we thank you that you have shown us your power, your authority, your wonder. We desire to join you in that work. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.